I think I've given beyond that I've given so far, as far as in my count, 80 number. 88, double eight, up to now that I've delivered over. From I came back in the end of 1969. I started teaching in 1970. From 1970 to 2012 now, I would say in these years, I've delivered 88 bands so far. It was cassettes altogether in cassettes, about 30,000 altogether.
Well, my kiram, we've got about the food is here. We've got about three questions, and then after we'll stop.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Maulana was invited to the MJC. Sheikh Nazim was the president at that time.
Great.
Maulana, I think so, then drifted away. Please just tell us a little bit about that Maghrib meeting that was supposed to take place.
Oh, yes. In that particular meeting, there were 40 MJC ulama. And in there, they pointed out to me that what I was teaching was unacceptable. Some of the shuyukh used the word disbelief. In other words, what I was teaching was unbelievable, unacceptable. Second thing that they did was to say that how can I be teaching that Muslims will suffer torment and punishment in the Qabr or in the hereafter. Totally unacceptable. A Muslim, according to them, many of the Masai spoke there, they said, how can a Muslim be called a Muslim when in the Akhirah, in the grave, and in the hereafter, they will suffer? That is not a Muslim. A Muslim is one who is successful fi dunya wa fi akhirah. So there is no ways that any Muslim will suffer the consequences of any kind of thing. A Muslim is successful. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah. This is the firm belief that they held on to. There is no Muslim that will ever suffer the consequences. In that particular meeting, they made it very clear to me what I was teaching was unacceptable. It was absolute falsehood. It was mythology, totally unacceptable. The ulama, the 40 ulama of Shuyukh of Cape Town were totally in agreement that everything that I was teaching was totally unacceptable and, unacceptable completely. And so much so that they said that this is all Indian fairy tales, mythology that I'm teaching. And why do I want to teach this thing? Nobody there spoke of the thousands of people that used to come and hear these lessons and that they were wrong. That is the strange part of it. So many thousands of people had come and sat in the lessons and listened to the lessons. Nobody had complained. But the shuyukh were in agreement, all of them, all 40 were in agreement that it was totally unbelievable, unacceptable that any Muslim would suffer any kind of punishment fil akhirah. It was never going to be so. Never going to be so. A Muslim in the Qabr will always be in safety, successful. He will always never have any problems in the Qabr. And all Muslims will be admitted into Jannah.
The ultimatum they gave you.
Which was?
About stopping beyond, you shouldn't be speaking
anymore. Yeah. That was also so that I must completely stop all my bayans. My jawab to them was, you know, in a crisis situation like this, I always, Allah knows why, I burst out laughing. And that particular, in that particular meeting, same thing happened. I burst out laughing and I told them, they can't understand this. They could never understand how, under so much pressure, I was actually laughing. I had a good laugh and I told them, you can do whatever you want to. I'm not going to change my bayans. Whatever I've said, whatever I've spoken, whatever has been recorded remains exactly the same. Whether you accept or don't accept, that is your prerogative, your privilege, whether you accept or not. But no problem as far as I'm concerned. Alhamdulillah, I will stick to my bayan. I will live with that and I'm going to die with that. But nothing, not one iota, not one thing is going to be changed. They were absolutely surprised.
The importance of reference in your bayans. Why is it every time you quote hadith you give reference?
Well, references are essential. Very, very important to give reference. Every time I've quoted a hadith, I've given where I've got it from. Ayat of the Quran, a reference is given.
What is the lesson from it? Why is it that it is important for yourself?
Yeah, because it's many of the... There are a lot of ulama that come and listen to the bayans as well. And a lot of students of the deen that come to listen. So I have to give the references so that they can go back and double check and check on the references given.
Is it because of the issue of the fairy tales?
Yes. Main reason is because in Cape Town it became quite famous that what Maulana was teaching was fairy tales, mythology and so on. So they tried to make the people aware that what I was teaching was all fairy tale. But it didn't go down well. People did not accept what they were saying. The result is that many, many people, alhamdulillah, accepted what I was saying and were not influenced by the MGC's harshness and rejection of my lessons. And alhamdulillah, it's surprising, isn't it, that when one exerts pressure on rejecting and denying, there is more acceptance. Look at what's happening now in the world. The more suppression of Islam that is taking place, the more Islam is spreading. Amazing. The more they are trying to suppress Islam, the more anti-Islamic propaganda, the more Islam is spreading. You know, when I went 12 years ago to the UK, in each masjid, there used to be 5 or 6 British Muslims. When I went there 2 years ago, every masjid, I went to the whole 50 masajid in the UK, 6 masajid in Ireland, 4 masajid in Scotland. I spoke everywhere. Every masjid had between 50 and 100 and more British people who had accepted Islam. I've never seen so many British Muslims. In the last masjid I spoke to in London, I burst out. I said, you know, when I look at you British Muslims here in this masjid, I feel the UK will become a Muslim country in 5 or 10 years' time. That the amount of British people that are exhibiting Islam. Okay? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah, brothers, I am very, very thankful to the Jamiat for having invited me over. I wish to thank them and those who are at the head of the Jamiat. Alhamdulillah, shukran for having invited me and for the ulama that have sat and listened to me here. I hope I've not bored you and that Inshallah, Summa Inshallah, you have benefited from this, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. There's a day coming when all of us, like we are here together, we'll be together in the other place also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us, forgive us, and Allah's mercy and compassion be on all of us, that all of us can be together in Jannah, in the highest abode in Jannah, Jannah the Firdaus, inshallah, ameen. Jazakumullah. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah Maulana for that very inspiring, elucidating your life. And we can for a few moments reflect the Mujahadana Zindagi life which Maulana had to lead from the very beginning. I mean, at the age of 12, at the age of 2, he had already contracted polio, which was the first case in this country. And it was not easy. Very difficult life, but Allah Ta'ala has pulled you through. And it is a great lesson for us who are sitting here, that every step that we take as ulama, it's got to be in the light of the Quran and Hadith. And as Maulana has very aptly said, that the time will come where the ulama will be tested, and it will be very, very difficult times, and we have to prepare for that. One aspect I remember, that Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi, during the peak time when they were fighting against the British, and in midsummer, he should walk on the sehen of the Masjid of Deoband, which had red stones, which Maulana will remember. So some people, and it was very, very hot. Your feet were should burn there. So somebody asked Hazrat, that why are you doing this? So he said, ek waqt aisa aayega, jab hum par aazmaish aayegi, aur hum agar tayyar na ho, to hum kya mujahida karenge? So Maulana's zindagi, yeah, also, in spite of teaching the haq, there was opposition from within, very little from the outside, and he withstood that. And in a lighter note, Maulana said that he brought 17 trunks of kitabs. That was also great mujahada. But I would appeal to Maulana that look into the 17 trunks and see if you can't find some of my kitabs there inside. We thank Maulana for having accepted our invitation and have given us a great lesson. May Allah Ta'ala accept that and take him from strength to strength to elucidate the true teachings of Islam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. I will ask Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Sahab to make the final dua.
Allahumma inna ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadati. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا عذاب الدين. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. يا حي يا قيوم لا إله إلا أنت برحمتك أستغيث برحمتك أستغيث برحمتك أستغيث. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.